You are entering the Royals Podcast Network.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
Belted to left field. Billy comes through tonight. Splat!
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Last week you got to hear the longest open we've ever had, and this week you now get to hear our new short open, which I made because Mike said, I bet you could do a 30-second open. And I said, I bet you I can't. And then I did.
And everybody wins.
And everybody wins. Good morning, Mike, or good afternoon, Mike Lingle. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It sounds like the wind is going to try to blow my apartment over, though.
You know, that's one thing we don't really have much problem with here in Albuquerque. It gets windy once in a while, but not too bad. Also joining us today, making an appearance, you know, once a month or so, is Jeff Herr. Jeff, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic. You know, I got to keep tabs on you guys somehow.
First off, welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. This is the 20th of January. You'll hear it sometime after that. And I am, of course, Troy Olson. And I'll start off with the nonsensical stuff, I guess. Chris Kamler is finishing up my video. In fact, we'll have to record something for that here later. But Chris Kamler is finishing up my video that will be sent out to the Fan Cave people. He's finishing that up today or tomorrow. I have to write a short 150-word blog. I'm going to do that about everything that's going on with Tanaka and where he might sign, and how even though the new rules were set up so that small market teams could play with the big boys in getting the Nippon League players, I don't really think that's happening. So, because like the Dodgers said, we'll just outspend everybody because we can buy a plane. So I'll try to cinch that down to 150 words that makes sense, and then probably have Mike edit it and go from there. When that does all get together, you'll see me posting about it on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at TroyOF, at Michael Engel, and at the Jeff Report. And we'll get that all going for you. But I'm hoping to make the top 30, which then you'll vote on my YouTube video. And then hopefully make the top 9, and I'll make it in. So that'll be really cool. First things first, Guthrie restructured his contract, and it actually was kind of interesting to me. I mean, he's still going to get all of his money, but they're just kind of spreading it out. Mike, what does this mean for the Royals?
Well, immediately it means that they're going to save $3 million this year. Guthrie was set to make $11 million in 2014. Instead, he's going to make $8 million. And apparently this was worked out in November, according to, I think it was Joel Sherman mentioned, or maybe it was Jeffrey Flanagan had reported that. But when it was first announced, it really kind of threw people for a loop, because it's kind of rare for players to restructure contracts in the first place. And also from, you know, talking to Bob Dutton previously, before he left for Tacoma, sadly, you know, he mentioned a couple of times that Guthrie had passed up extra money he might have been able to make in free agency to stay in Kansas City, a good situation for him. So, you know, it seemed like this might have been something where Guthrie was jumping, you know, taking everything out of his deal so that the Royals could go sign somebody else. And immediately I think everybody thought it was going to be Irvin Santana. But no, it's just I think for the most part they're just trying to get payroll to where they kind of wanted it to be, which is in that, you know, $85, $86 million range. It's still going to come up above that after the arbitration cases are settled or, you know, heard by the arbitrator. But that's pretty much all it seems to be looking like, is just kind of playing with the numbers. But Guthrie's still going to make that money. It's just tacked on as a buyout later on. Plus, there's a mutual option that they added. So that could be something down the line that becomes significant. But for the most part, it seemed like it was bigger news at the time. It's still, you know, good on Guthrie, and, you know, I guess you praise a guy to take $3 million less and he's still making $8 million. But, you know, it does, I think, show that, you know, he's willing to be flexible with the team. So that's, you know, I think that bodes well for him as far as, you know, morale and things like that. So
plus he gets a potential no matter how highly unlikely, he gets a potential extra year on his deal. It is a mutual contract, so a mutual option, so they could easily decline it, and then
and that's
do that.
It, yeah. Then they go pay the couple million. Another thing, and this is something Ben came up with on Walk-Off Talk on their last episode, was that perhaps this year, because they have more flexibility in their payroll, what if down the line, what if it's July and the Royals need to add some payroll and that restructured deal makes it easier for them to go get somebody? And I thought that was a pretty good idea too. So, it could be something that the Royals are looking ahead, towards a potential, trade target that they might need to get, in June or July. And, Guthrie restructuring does give them at least a little bit more flexibility. It might only be, $1.5 million in the end, once you get halfway through the season, but it's still $1.5 million can sometimes, be enough to persuade someone to do something or prevent them from doing something. So that was an interesting take too, I thought.
I got a follow up on this to go to Jeff, but before I do that, Jeff's typing in our chat sad faces on references of Dutton. I have to say, I have decided I do not like Seattle sports fans and Seattle in general, and just pretty much everything about it. First, they get Dutton. Second, they've got their bogus 12th man in their bogus dome stadium, and their fans are really mean to Dutton. Like, Royals fans were not necessarily nice to him all the time, but they weren't jerkish like these Mariner fans are. So I've decided that Seattle is not a city that I could ever root for. Plus, it's rainy all the time. I guess I would be angry, too, if it was cloudy all the time. But I digress. I want Bob Dutton back. Jeff, if you had $3 million to spend on any one player this year, who would it be?
As in a player that I could get for only $3 million, or just like
where does that $3 million if you were Dayton Moore and you're going to spend that
$3 million,
where does it go
for Mike Trout?
It probably goes to things like the Brad Penny contract that just got signed, like minor league deals where there's not very much monetary commitment. But honestly, like when I first heard this was happening, and I looked at the numbers, and it was $3 million saved. My first thought was that was a more or less a kickback to David Glass, saying like, "Hey, you've let us go sign Jason Vargas above market value, Omar Infante, they tack on those extra years to those contracts and actually allow us to be competitive in the bidding for those free agents, so." We've got somebody who's willing to restructure. Here's a few mil for your trouble. Thanks. That seems like kind of a thing that the Royals would do. And so I don't really see it going towards anything in particular or opening things up for them to do something different or something new this year. I think it's just, hey, here's a place we can save money. Guthrie was, is totally awesome by letting us do this, so let's get our owner some of that money back that he's paying to make us better. That's what I think.
So, by the way, do you know that they have to, pitchers and catchers have to report on Valentine's Day? How crappy is that? Have a little love the night before, I guess, and call it good. From the USA Today, going off of what Jeff had just said about the Brad Penny contract, he did indeed get a contract, and Twitter blew up. Because I guess Twitter thinks that every time we sign an old guy that it's going to be bad news. And this one doesn't seem to be like the deal last year with Tejada where he's guaranteed a spot. This seems to be more something that you may hear on the end of this podcast. We were talking offline, or I guess not really offline, but we were talking before the show about Brad Penny's new wife, who is from Hayes, Kansas, which, if you don't know, that's where Michael Engel is from. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to figure out if Mike knew her. Well, she's about 6 years younger than I am, and Mike's my age. So he did, in fact, not know her. But it did lead to a bit of, I don't want to say cyber stalking, but I guess that's really what it was on Brad Penny and his former girlfriends and what we could find out about Casey Cook Penny. So I guess you can check that out at the end of the show. Let's just say Google is very strong, and she wasn't all that hidden, so it wasn't too hard.
That sounds really creepy.
It does sound really creepy. It's not intended really creepy. I am a good person. Please don't take that any other way. The Royals agreed to terms. I'm just reading from a USA Today article real quick about Brad Penny and Guillermo Mota. The Royals agreed to terms with Tim Collins on a one-year contract to avoid arbitration, and that contract was worth $1.3625. That's $1,362,500, which is an increase over his $534,500 he made last season. He was 3-6 with a 3.54 ERA. We'll probably get to more about that later, but I just wanted to say I think you could stack his salary in $100 bills, and it would still be quite a bit taller than him.
Oh, the Hunter Samuels actually like figured it out. He broke it into denominations and tweeted about it, and he said that it's X amount of hundreds, X amount of fifties, and so on, and they pretty much could reach his height.
And Hunter can be heard on the Triple Play podcast, which you can now find on the Royals Podcast Network under the Kansas City Baseball Vault as well.
Yep.
So we're bringing in all the best, guys. We're trying to give you something really good to listen to. But anyways, I digress. I just thought I like to make Tim Collins height jokes, and that was there, so I was going to throw that out.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Yes. Penny last pitched with the Giants in 2012. He is now 35 years old, and he had he was 0-1 with a 6.11 ERA with the Giants. Mota is 39-45 with a 3.94 ERA over 14 seasons. He's coming off a 100-game suspension for a second positive drug test, which his agent claims is from clenbuterol found in children's cough syrup. Quit taking children's cough syrup. You're an old man. And so, yeah, if he gets found for anything,
he's done.
He's done.
I mean, he's probably done anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 39, so I mean, where do you put him in the Royals bullpen? I really don't. It's kind of a weird signing because the Royals bullpen is stacked, and like even if you look at guys that they have in the minors, like there's Michael Marriott, there's Donnie Joseph, there's a couple other guys that have potential. I think Scott Alexander was the guy we talked on the last one. He could be kind of a lefty specialist or another lefty reliever or something. Where do you fit this guy? I mean, he would have to basically be lights out and make the team, and then maybe are able to play with service time or something. I don't know. I don't see Mota hitting the big leagues this year.
It's another reclamation project.
Yeah.
It's just what Dayton Moore loves to do.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Jeff.
It's a classic Royals lottery ticket move. You know, when you're in a position where you're a small market team who struggles with payroll like the Royals, you get these. You know, they did the same thing with Jonathan Sanchez, with Jeremy Guthrie, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. So, you know, especially with it being a minor league deal, I mean, Guthrie and Sanchez were starters on day one. So, I mean, this being just a minor league deal makes it, you know, all that better. That if for some reason he blows up and he has a Bartolo Colon type of, you know, resurgence, then it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe we can make something of this. And, you know, all it cost us was a minor league contract. So.
Yeah. And I mean, especially with Penny, I think he's possibly got something in the tank.
Well, and Penny said that, you know, there was an article that Mike linked, and I would tell you that it was probably in Mike's blog somewhere, but Mike doesn't do that anymore, so I can't fall back on that anymore.
Nope.
There was an article that was from MSN and Fox Sports that you can probably, if you probably just Google Flanagan,
yep,
and Brad Penny, you'll find it. But he talks about how Penny is in the best shape he's ever been in or has been in years, and he thinks he can still get big leaguers out. And another thing to remember is he signed this contract not because he wants to make it back to the big leagues, I'm sure, but this is also an easy signing for him. His wife is from Stillwell. You know, she has a house there, according to the internets. And so, again, that sounds really creepy. I mean,
yeah, he's been in Kansas City. He's been in KC this whole the whole last year too. It's just nobody knew it, so it makes sense. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like it's no risk for the Royals. I mean, if he pitches well enough in spring training to make the team somehow, well, then great. You know, he makes the team, and it's going to be like $1 million. And if he doesn't, then he has an out to try elsewhere. And there's always the potential, you know, like we just said. I mean, his home now is in this area, so Omaha's not that far. So I don't really see a reason why he would be too upset for a minor league assignment if nothing else was there. So I think it works for everybody. And there is a little bit of upside because Penny was a two-time All-Star. He used to be a pretty darn good pitcher. It's just been 6 years.
Even if he's not, you know, he's just another piece. And he is going to play into the fifth starter, I'm sure. You know, you're going to have a whole mess of folks, him and Davis and Hochaver and Ventura. And Dwyer, Zimmer will probably get a look. Maybe even Jason Adam gets a look briefly. I don't know that he has a real shot. But, you know, like we talked about, it only takes a real, you know, it just takes a good run. And all of a sudden, things start changing around there. But I'm not too excited about the Penny signing. I think it's interesting because he's a big name. He's a guy that's got experience. You know, he's got the it factor. He's got all those things that Dayton Moore likes. And if he works out, great. If he doesn't, nothing's lost. You're out a couple. I don't even know what a minor league contract is for a vet anymore. I don't even know that it's 100. It might be 100,000, but I'm not even sure it's that much. I was trying to find it, and it's not exactly out there. But
well,
Jeff, did you have anything to add to the Brad Penny signing?
No, just that, you know, similar to the Mota thing, it's a lottery ticket thing where, hey, if it works out well and he actually is in the best shape of his life and he can return to his form where he was dominant in playoff games and World Series and everything, then, okay, yeah, that's awesome. But that was like 10 years ago, so the odds of that are pretty slim. But I would like to say we should mark it down that it's what – I'm not sure when that article you were talking about came out, but it's already like – January, today's the 19th, 20th? Today's
20th.
And it's, we've already had our best shape of X player's life article come out, so we should probably place wagers on who will be the next one. I think Mike
Moustakas, yeah.
He's got to be the guy. He's in the best shape of his life. He's ready to blow up, and it's going to be at least two of those articles will be printed in the Kansas City Star.
And Moose just got married like a couple weeks ago, too.
See, he's got that out of the way now. That was bothering him all last season. Nobody knew it. Nobody said anything. Like, you can write they almost write themselves.
Yeah, free of distraction. Moustakas in the best shape of his life.
Oh, okay. There's your headline, man. That's Kansas City Star material.
Yeah, well, they do have an opening, so.
That's true.
They say they're close to hiring Dutton's replacement, but there's been no announcement yet. So, we're kind of in this kind of. Purgatory, I guess. I mean, that's unfair to Blair Kirkhoff and Pete Grathoff, who've both been kind of picking up the slack. But they both have, you know, Kirkhoff's got his beat, so the Royals thing is kind of still secondary, and Grathoff does so much other stuff that, you know, they're both trying to cover, you know, what they can. So, you know, it's tough business, and I think they're close, but they, you know. It just seems like it's been a weird off season where nothing's happened and now nothing's really being reported, like not even features.
But, you know, the thing is, I really want it to be Rustin Dodd, but I don't see any way that it can be because you can't wait until after March Madness to bring Dodd into the fold on the Royals because you need somebody in spring training this year because the Royals are exciting again and you've got to have it covered. Sports are exciting in Kansas City again. That's because I moved away. I made them excited by moving away. It's all me, you guys.
Thanks.
We could talk for an hour about arbitration and arbitration numbers, but I'm behind on the other shows on the network, but I can guarantee you that this has been talked about on the network. So I'm not going to go into great detail on this. I'm just going to bring a couple, interesting ones up, and I'd like to publicly thank, David Leskey for having a great document that we use for salaries. And Mike's still searching for that $7.47 to get signed by the Royals, and I don't think the calls came yet. So
no, we're held up. They're only going to $7, and I'm not budging.
You're not budging on that 47 cents.
That's very very important.
James Shields will go into the season as the highest paid player. That's not an arbitration thing. That's a James Shields has a nice contract thing, and he's making 13.5. And then Alex Gordon, of course, says his $10 million. Then you get through, everybody's under that. So still, the Royals are not paying necessarily paying a lot for anybody. They've got a lot of team friendly contracts, like none better than Sal Perez's, which is $1.5 million this year. But they've gotten to arbitration with Mike. Correct me on this. Who haven't they gotten yet? It's Greg Holland wants a lot.
Well, so far they have come to agreements with Emilio Bonifacio. They agreed at $3.5 million, which probably too much for a guy who's going to be a backup. But you know, that I think that otherwise they were going to submit figures and they just met in the middle. Royals were at 3 million. He was at 4 million. Tim Collins was the first one, or he was the second player to agree. Brett Hayes agreed to a deal about $600,000 in his first year of arbitration. Luke Hochaver has agreed and he's going to make $5.21 million, which is a lot for a relief pitcher. But it's also his fourth arbitration, and he's a good example of kind of how the system is very strange because, you know, we've talked about Hochaver enough over the last 3 years that, you know, he's had struggles, and every single year he's gotten a raise because that's just kind of how the system is built. You know, and if you play poorly enough to get a pay cut, you probably don't get tendered a contract. And so he gets, you know, a raise last year, was getting $4.5 million last year, got a raise up to $5.21 million. You know, that's, you know, it's just the system. Eric Hosmer was actually kind of a surprising agreement because I think people thought he would be the toughest one, and he's going to be getting $3.6 million this year. So that leaves Aaron Crow, Greg Holland, and Justin Maxwell as the last three players who are arbitration eligible who do not have a deal yet.
So where I want to go with that, and before we get too far away from it, is I want to talk about a couple of these. First off, if you listen to the show, I always assume that our listeners are well-educated baseball fans, so you understand that arbitration typically are one-year deals. That's why Eric Hosmer didn't get really offered, necessarily, quote-unquote, offered a long-term deal yet.
That's why they say came to an agreement on a one-year deal with – because they're under team control. These guys are not going anywhere. They're – you know, a guy like Eric Hosmer, he's going to be a Royal through the 2017 season unless they trade him or he retires or disappears. You know, that's just the first 6 years or six full seasons that you're a big leaguer. That's how it is. The team has control over your deal, and the kind of compromise is that the player arbitration process so that teams can't just keep paying them the minimum salary after three seasons, or, you know, in Hosmer's case, he's a Super 2 guy. Then you go to arbitration, and it goes from there.
And all of a sudden, I lost the connection. So,
Troy,
I guess
this might be on our end. The wind is really crazy over here, so it might have thrown something out of whack for a second.
Maybe. I don't know.
The wind?
They're having really bad wind where they're at.
Do you know how the internet works, boys?
It's a series of tubes, isn't it?
It is. Also, highly affected by the wind.
Well
that's what I thought.
Be.
I don't know. It runs through phone wires, right? Phone wires run above ground sometimes. They could be affected by the wind. Is that not logical? Is that wrong?
That was a lot of words.
I'm not an IT guy. I don't know these things.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I don't know if it's the weather in Kansas or if it's just the pure thought of adding Chris Kamler to this episode, but the whole thing went to crap. And so I got two things I want to do real quick. First, since we're already kind of on a break, I want to thank the good folks at Kelly's Westport Inn for continuing to support us. Please go drink at Kelly's. They have great specials after 9, and they have a happy hour from, I think it's 2 to 5, but I should double-check that. Anyways, they have a great happy hour. They have great Boulevard specials after 9. I believe that's 7 days a week. And on Sundays, they have specials on Jameson and other Irish-type delights. So go check them out. They're great people. We love them, and they continue to support us. Tell them that the Kansas City Baseball Vault sent you. I'd also like to welcome into the show Chris Kamler. Hello, Mr. Kamler. He just could not wait to say hello to Michael Engel, stupid former blogger, so I thought I'd go ahead and let him come in. As we talked about in the beginning of the show, Chris is helping me make my audition video, or whatever you call it, for the MLB Fan Cave. Now, because I don't have a splitter and a board and all the fun stuff, you guys can't hear what I'm about to listen to, but it's a minute 20, so I'm going to watch the video that Chris has made, and I'm going to talk about it while while it plays.
It's like a Fan Cave riff tracks.
Yes.
This is going to be just as riveting as our Pitch Perfect riff tracks.
Probably worse.
Which nobody should ever go watch, ever.
How many views does that have?
Well, 12 of them are mine, but that's...
Fantastic. So 13, counting mine?
So 13.
So
glad we just could, give... glad if it could help humanity for that one night.
It was a good idea.
You bet, buddy.
Almost back to baseball here. Chris has set it to music. Hopefully you'll see this video and be able to vote on it here, figuring that I make the top 30, or at least that's how they've done it last year. Right now you have to go through, you have to send the video in, you send in this application, and there's anywhere between 20 and 30,000 people or so that apply. And if you're selected, you get to go and live in a house. Just look up MLB Fan Cave and you'll understand. It's pretty cool, though. But anyway, so it starts out, we're going to use the hashtag Vote Royal Man, so remember that one. It starts out with the Fan Cave logo. We've pieced together some videos of me. They're pretty silly videos. Some old pictures of me as Royal Man. And we talked about the podcast, of course, and me being on the news. We showed some great video when we were on Fox 4. Showed some great video of me here out in New Mexico. It's actually a really cool video, and Chris did very, very good on this, and it's decided to stop playing halfway through. So I'll watch the end of it later. Not surprising that's not working for a crap either right now, so there you go.
It's the wind. You can't watch
pretty much
far
from the course.
It's been another great show. Candler, how you doing?
I don't know. I'm just here, boys. How are things with you? I'm good. Things are great with me.
They're pretty good if this internet stays connected, but I guess I just can't have you come play with our nice things, I guess, because my stuff does not like you. Your stuff likes me just fine, but my stuff does not like you.
Boy, I'll tell you what, there's about nine that's what she said's right in a row.
right?
With what you just said.
If the first half isn't totally gone, you missed me being unintentionally creepy talking about Brad Penny's wife, so you can just add that to it.
That's actually what I was doing before you called, so good.
We don't have a lot left to talk about, but we are going to talk about Baseball America put out their top 10 for the Royals, and I bet you guys can guess a few of these.
Bubba Starling's in there. No, there's not really a lot of surprises. It's a lot of names that we've talked about a bunch on this show. Kyle Zimmer and Yordano Ventura are right at the front. And Raul Mondesi is up there as well. And, Hunter Dozier is listed in there. The kind of one name that doesn't get talked about that much is Christian Benford, who they rank 10th on this ranking. And he's a guy, they also rated him as the best control in the entire Royals minor league system. He's a guy, he doesn't walk a lot of people. He walked, less than two batters per nine innings over his career. He's 6'6". He's a huge guy, 22 years old, or 21 years old, draft pick from 2011. He pitched at Lexington last year, so he's going to be a guy probably, looking at Wilmington this year, and from there, probably do well in Wilmington because pitchers seem to do well there. And then maybe double-A by midseason.
Try to have J.J. Cooper on. He's come on with us before, and he'll talk about this top 10. I'm going to breeze through it real quick. You have to go to Baseball America, and you have to be a member to read the details on it. But super quick, number one, Kyle Zimmer. Number two, Yordano Ventura. Number three, Ari Mondesi. Number four, Jorge Bonifacio. Number five, Miguel Almonte. Number six, Sean Manea. Number seven, Hunter Dozier. Number eight, Bubba Starling. Number nine, a guy we never talk about, Jason Adam. And number 10, Christian Benford. So you can go look those up and see a little more on that. Jeff, was there anything you wanted to add on this top 10?
Kind of like Mike was saying, that was pretty much what we expected, especially when you consider, like last year, we didn't really have much to talk about in terms of minor league players coming up and making an impact for the team because there was a bit of a small gap that we've talked about on this show in the farm system between the Hosmer Moose, Perez wave, and then what was supposed to be kind of that, Will Myers was kind of supposed to start that second wave. He's obviously gone, but now I think some of those players are going to start seeing an impact with Yordano Ventura and possibly Kyle Zimmer. Pretty much the same as what we were looking at last year. A couple of maybe small surprise names like the Christian Benford that doesn't get a ton of press, but overall, I mean, it's the usual suspects. I think, seeing Bubba Starling still on there, he's still got that name and he's still got that freakish athletic ability, but, hopefully he can turn it around. And, when you kind of dig into his numbers, there are some things that might give you some positive, looking forward, give you some positive feelings like his ability to walk and everything like that, but, still remains to be seen. So, if the Royals can get two of those guys to come up and make an impact this year, I think that's definitely a success. So hopefully that'll happen because it wasn't last year. We really didn't see that much of an impact from the minor league system.
Candler, did you want to add anything on any of these 10?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure looking forward to Brooks Pounders pushing his way up into the list. I don't think that, frankly, you can get enough rehab into Brooks Pounders because it's, I mean, you can't really hold Brooks Pounders down. You really just have to let him do his thing, and then wherever you end up is where Brooks Pounders needs to be.
So we have a listener who hates the Pounders sisters jokes. So he's gonna really appreciate that last 2 minutes there.
That's a shame.
There's still some players out there in free agency. There's several that we could talk about, but I don't know if there's much to talk about there. Mike, is there anything you really wanted to add on who's still out there in free agency? I think if by some miracle they end up getting Santana back, that'd be cool, but I don't really see him going out and signing anybody else. Mike? Jeff, do you have an opinion on that?
On them signing another free agent? No, I mean, I don't think they're going to. I think at this point, all they're really waiting on, or when I say they, I mean just Major League Baseball in general, while we haven't really heard much news, I think this Masahiro Tanaka thing is holding up everything because the way they changed those posting rules, everybody's going to be in on this. And so everybody now thinks they have a chance. So now they're looking at this situation where all these teams are like, okay, we can get this guy. We're going to give this $20 million. We're going to make this happen. So let's do this. And they're all waiting because not only are they going to have to pay a ton of money to get him, but then that's going to affect down the line, okay, what sets the market for Santana and Garza and those free agent pitchers versus whatever team signs them has left to sign anybody else. So, I mean, it's kind of this holding pattern until that gets all figured out. So, I don't know if there's going to be much movement in baseball in general, but I also think anytime you hear the Royals' name, it'll be a cursory mention. I don't know that they're necessarily really going to be in on anybody because at this point, they're pretty much tapped out as far as what their quoted payroll has gone, and it remains to be seen whether Glass will really extend for anybody that he thinks might or might not be worth it. So I highly doubt we see any big signings moving forward this offseason before spring training starts.
Now that Jeff said all that, Mike, who actually had names, and I thought he did, but it all broke up for him, so he couldn't hear what I was saying.
It's the wind.
Yeah, it's the wind. And then Kamler, of course, the Kamler effect. He's not wearing pants, so that's of course, contributing to our problems.
That's the wind as well.
Yes. Different kind
There's
of wind.
There's some other wind going on over here, too.
Right. Right.
Right.
So Engel, what do you think about free agency?
I mean, like Jess said, we're waiting on Tanaka to resolve, and that's supposed to be at the end of this week. And I think after that happens, you start to see Santana go off the board. Matt Garza is also another guy out there who I would prefer Garza over Santana, partially because you still get a pick if Santana signs somewhere. And Garza, I think, is just more balanced. It seems like year to year he has more of the same type of year, and Santana is kind of up and down. Ubaldo Jimenez is another guy who's out there who is, you know, he seems like maybe he figured some things out last year, but it's also a career year, so maybe he's going to regress back to being, you know, just above average. So I don't know. I don't know if he's worth even going after, plus there's a draft pick assigned to him. So in the meantime, there are other pitchers, and I think the Royals need to be looking at pitchers at this stage. That you could go out and get. You know, Eric Bedard is out there. He's, you know, kind of gone through with some minor league deals before. A.J. Burnett is probably going to retire, but, you know, he's maybe one more year if he wanted to. Bruce Chen is still out there, but I think he'd have to sign a minor league deal. I don't think I think he could probably find a major league deal possibly somewhere, even a small one, and probably doesn't want to go back to, you know, the minor league deal game. But even guys like, you know, Johan Santana is out there. I mean, he's 34 years old. The big risk is he has had two shoulder surgeries in the last 3 years. So he's definitely, you can't assume he's going to be the same guy who, you know, was a Cy Young Award winner multiple times and the best pitcher in baseball. But there's enough upside there that, you know, bring him in on a minor league deal. He wants to show for 1 year that he's still got it and, you know, might be able to get a, you know, turn a good season into a 3-year deal for some more money. You know, maybe Kansas City is a good place for him to rebuild that value. Tommy Hansen's kind of like that too. He's had some injury problems, But when he's good, he's really good. It's just you have to be healthy. So I think those are the kind of guys that the Royals need to be looking at, guys who can offer a little bit of upside if they can reach their ceiling and stay healthy, but guys who would be willing to take, you know, a small deal just to rebuild value. Look at what Scott Kazmir did last year. He pitched great for the Indians, and now he's got a good deal in Oakland. So that's what the Royals can offer some guys. And just kind of like what they offered Urban Santana. I mean, he had a good year, and he's going to get some money. And Jeremy Guthrie, the year before, rebuilt some value in half a season and got a pretty good contract. So there are names, just the Royals have to be creative to get them on those minor league deals and really sell them.
Candler, did you have anything to add?
Did we talk about Brooks Pounders or Brad Penny's wife yet?
We've done both of those things.
Oh, okay. Well, then, no, I have nothing to add.
One thing you did miss out on earlier is we discovered that Brad Penny dated Eliza Dushku. So, guy's done all right in his life.
Penny, for your thoughts.
Yeah, apparently. We briefly talked about the Star naming a new guy. We don't need to go into any more on that. Hopefully, they'll name somebody soon because, you know, as we said, it's very sad without Bob Dutton around, and it's even worse without anybody around actually tracking just the Royals for us. But a lot of good people over at the Star and a lot of good followers on Twitter, and you can definitely go to the Star page and find them out. I haven't had a chance to listen to the other shows on the network yet this week. Mike, is there anything that people that may have not listened to all the shows should go listen to?
Well, yeah, if you look around the network, the Triple Play podcast made their debut. That's Hunter Samuels, Matt Vernon, and Aaron Reese. They talked a lot about the Hall of Fame and then talked about the Royals, mostly about the Hall of Fame, and it was an interesting discussion. Pine Tar Press, last time out, they had Mike Farron. He's part of the Sirius XM MLB network. So that was a good guest, and he had some really good insight into different things going on with the Royals and, you know, in baseball in general. And Walk-Off Talk, they talked a bit about Jeremy Guthrie restructuring. They named it the bleep episode because they just kept cursing. I don't know what got into them. They just ran. They had to lay on the button, just cursing all over the place. No, it was a good episode. It's, you know, a lot of fun. Those guys are really goofy, so it's they're kind of a fun listen.
As opposed to
that's kind of what's happening around the Royals Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jeff was trying to say, you know, unlike us who are not goofy, no, we're more crackly and breaking up all this.
Problems on that machine.
You know what else? But you know what else happened? The wind kicked up right off that line. I'm not even kidding.
But we're gonna keep this in because it was kind of funny, and we're gonna continue on here real quick.
Sounds like a hook start,
right? Kind of is. It was good for a while, and then it just went to crap and just never came back. The guys over at Walk Off Talk do a really good show. They, you know, obviously they're new to podcasting, and they had never met each other before they started doing the show. You know, it's something that we pride ourselves in, is making sure that our people have never talked to each other before.
Sure.
They try to do a professional podcast.
Spontaneity. Throw them in the water. Yeah. See if they swim.
But they have the best, and they're the most in touch with the fan show. That's what that show is designed to be, because Audra, you know, has done a blog here and there, but she's not a blogger per se. Of course, Ben is the co-editor at one of the fan-sided sites, KC Kingdom. So, of course, he's well in touch with the sports world. And Hunter, as well, is the new editor. I think we're to the point where we can get out of here, but we do want to thank all the new guys.
You know what? I really miss this. I have really, really missed this.
The outgoing of resignation.
The screw it, we're done.
You know, the thing is, we do that show at your house, and it's, like, perfect. It is the most on point, you know, to exactly what we wanted to get to.
Well,
it was
overstating it just a bit.
But, you know, any other time we would do a show with you, and it would, you know, we'd have a problem here or there. So, yeah, on that note, I would like to thank all the other shows. I would like to thank Michael Engel and Jeff Herr for continuing to be my co-hosts even through these kind of problems. I'd like to thank Chris Kamler for taking the time to do this video. It's going to rock. We're going to have a mission for you on Twitter, so please follow us all on Twitter. I'm at TroyOF. Follow Jeff at the Jeff Report and Mike at Michael Engel. Of course, the show's at KC Baseball Vault. I can't follow you back on that account right now. That's a whole different set of problems. And then you can also follow Kamler at the Fake Ned. But yeah, check us out, and we're doing great things over there. A lot of great things going on in the network. Check out RoyalsPodcast.com for all of your Royals needs as far as the audio is concerned, and lots of great links to Pine Tar Press and KC Kingdom and Kings of Kaufman. And what a show. Thanks again to Kamler for doing everything. Thanks to Kelly's for being our continuing sponsor. And on that note, I'm not even going to ask the guys.
Thank you, Kip Pello.
Yeah, thank you, Kip Pello, from the old days. On that note, we're just going to laugh our way out of here. Go Royals.
Oh, boy.
Stop's done, folks.
You have been listening to a Royals Podcast Network presentation.
Oh, God damn. Oh, I miss this shit so mad. It's funny. Well, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, the funniest
good job, guys.
The funniest part is now these last 3 minutes recorded like a charm.
Yeah, it sounded good, the last three minutes. Just air that. That's fine.
Thanks. Well.
Bye. Hey, trying to remind myself of Penny's actual contract.
Yeah. We need to try to get him on.
We need to try to get everybody. See, and this is the thing. He married a woman who is from Hayes, Kansas.
Really?
I keep meaning to go and like try to see if I can figure out, because he's 35. So she would be possibly around my age. But even
he's
if she's
married a 21-year-old.
Yeah, if she's some young hot thing. I mean, I've got a 20, how old is she? 24-year-old sister. And a.
Oh, she is good looking.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was going to say it differently and then remembered I was married.
Welp.
His ex-girlfriend looks like Eliza Dushku. This guy does all right.
Yeah, well.
Oh, his ex-girlfriend is Eliza Dushku.
Really? That's awesome. Okay. It's like that scene in LA Confidential. Casey Cook.
Yeah. Guest of the wedding.
Yes, it's from Hayes. Like, it's weird.
What's happening?
Nothing much. If you want to buy the couple a nice gift from their wedding registry, here you go. Remember, Brad only made $49,287,500 during his baseball career, so keep that in mind.
He's getting napkins.
Apparently, he has no trouble getting engaged either, because he was engaged to Dancing with the Stars pro Karina Smirnoff, but that relationship ended in late 2011, so it took him less than 2 years to meet a girl and marry her.
An athlete with money.
Trying to find out how old she is now that we're on that subject. We're trying to find out as much as we can about Brad Penny's wife and seeing if Mike knew her from when they were in Hayes.
She's from Hayes.
I bet she probably lived there for like 10 years and then like moved out or something.
Dude, she has a Facebook page. Just see if you have any mutual friends.
I should do that.
It's facebook.com/casey.cook.
Well, that's easy.
From Hayes, Kansas.
Weird. Does it say high school or anything?
Does it say what?
Like what high school she actually went to or anything? Or is it
her? It looks like she might be pretty locked down. Let's see. She owns a house in Stillwell as of July 1st. Born December 8th, 1986. She's younger than us.
She's younger than me.
Yeah.
Brad Penny has a legitimate Facebook page. Should I try to friend him?
Yeah.
Why not? What's the worst that could happen? Nothing?
She's 86, so she's 27.
She's my brother's age.
Yeah, so if she went to Hayes High, she might have been a senior when my younger sister was a freshman.
His Facebook page.
Is this who we're talking about?
Yeah, his Facebook page is Bradley Penny.
We got to leave all this in on the end.
His
reporting work.
His public profile is quite interesting too.
He seems to be doing all right for himself.
Yeah. Well, we discovered that his, and you missed this, and it was pretty funny. We discovered that his ex-girlfriend is Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, when I typed Brad Penny wife, a picture of her randomly came up. I was like, I wonder if they dated at some time.
I go, Brad Penny's ex-girlfriend looks like Eliza Dushku, and I click on it. I was like, oh, Brad Penny's ex-girlfriend is Eliza Dushku.
It's like, oh, when you're pitching in World Series games, your girlfriend's Eliza Dushku. When you're not, then it's the answer for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, you can say what you want, but she ain't all that bad either, so.
Oh, I said he's not doing that bad for himself, but all the same. It's like
okay,
all
so
time.
I can't.
All you had to do was say my name, and it all went to shit.
Okay, so.
That was pretty before.
Part out.
Yeah, edit all the Kamler out. Thanks for stopping by, though, Chris.
Thinking Kamler.
No problem, guys. Anytime.